Good. Good day to you, dear ones. In these uncertain days, we are not able to gather together physically to worship, but we are able to gather as one in spirit. Over the coming weeks, we will continue our worship service here on our website. We hope you will join us for this sacred time. I ask that as you gather in your own homes, that you will gather the elements for communion and partake during that part of our service. And yes, we are going to continue to ask you for your money during the offering. So you may want to have that ready as well. So come, dear ones, as we worship together in spirit and in truth. Come, all who need help. Our help comes from God, the one who made heaven and earth. Come, all who desire blessing. Our blessing comes from God, the God of Abraham and Sarah, the God of the ages. Come, all who long for salvation. Our salvation comes from Jesus, the one sent by God to save the world. Come, beloved, let us worship God. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? God of Sarah and Abraham, God of us all, you have called people throughout the ages to journey in faithfulness. Give to us a sense of anticipation through this Lenten season that we may move with confidence and hope toward the new life of Easter. This we pray in Jesus' name, our companion and our guide, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our opening hymn today is How Great Thou Art. Now, as we come to our time of prayer, we have several joys and concerns for our community. We have a few joys. One is we are glad to welcome Lisa Walker to our staff. Lisa is taking over Lee's position as the bookkeeper, and so we are very glad that she is here with us. Also, Debbie Mestis has received a $1,000 grant for the sandwich ministry, and that is not a small deal. So we are very happy and glad for that. And also, spring. Well, it's snowing right now, but it's still spring, and so that is something for all of us to be joyful about. Our concerns are these. We continue to pray for Lonnie McBee, Mike Ward, Joan McNamara, Mary Oliver, Ed Struby, and Jean Stolte, who is recovering from a surgical procedure. We also want to remember all of our folks who are living in assisted living facilities, those who are homebound, and those who are not able to get out during this time, those who are working to stop the COVID-19 virus, we remember them in our prayers, and we need to pray for the fruits of the Spirit, that they would be seen, known, and practiced throughout this time of uncertainty. You can find them in Galatians 5. You might want to look those up. So, let's join together in prayer. Merciful God, for light and life and all things good, we are grateful. For love and joy, for community and friendship, we are grateful. For breath and wind, for spirit and soul, gracious God, we are grateful. You care for us and bless us in ways seen and unseen. We want to live lives of gratitude, lives lived with our faces turned toward the sun. We want to live lives in service to you as Jesus did, lives given for others. Oh God, you have made us a community, a family of worship, of service, and of learning. As the disciples did long ago, we gather together in one place as your people. This is our practice, and this is our custom as people of faith. This is what you have taught us. But God, our world is in trouble. We are in trouble, and we are troubled. The novel coronavirus makes us afraid, uncertain, unsettled. You have continually told us to not be afraid, but we are. And so we ask, tender God, that you would calm our fears. Surround us, surround our world with your love and compassion, like a child surrounds herself with a favorite blanket. Remind us that you are our security blanket. COVID-19 demands that we keep distance from one another. And God, you know this is difficult for your people who gather whenever possible, for your people who hug and touch with love and joy, for your people who gain strength, courage, love, and wisdom in gathering. We need your help, God, to keep our distance from one another. Help us to understand, for this moment of time, distance is a sign of love, a choice of caring. This will be hard for us to understand. Help us to keep and maintain community by phone, by email, by text, by FaceTime, however we can, so we do not lose each other. Be present with the lonely, the grieving, the sick, the sad. Keep melancholy far from us. We pray for all around our world, those in our country, in our state, who carry the virus. We pray for all who have died, and we pray for their families. We pray for all those who are working diligently to stop this pandemic. We pray for our national and state leaders, our public health workers, hospital and medical workers. We are thankful for their gifts of study, research, and healing. Bountiful God, turn our eyes and our attention to all the blessings and the miracles that surround us each moment of our lives. Make your presence known. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. The table of the Lord is open to any and all who would come when we are together and when we are apart. The Lord is with us and invites us to take our places at his table. And so, beloved, the table is set, the meal is ready. Come and share the feast of joy. Our communion hymn this morning is In the Garden. On the night before he died, Jesus sat down to eat supper with his friends. And while they were eating, he took a piece of bread. He broke it and gave thanks and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in memory of me." And after supper, he took a cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant which is for you. As often as you drink this, do so in memory of me." Let us pray. Ever-present God, we give you thanks for calling us to be your people. We give you thanks for light and life and all things good. We give you thanks for the nourishment for body and soul that we find here at your table. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And now we come to our time of offering. Just because we're closed doesn't mean we need to stop giving in all of the ways that we give. And so now, in grateful thanksgiving for all of the gifts that God has given us, let us now receive our offering. The elders can help you deliver them. You can put it in the mail. You can call any of us, and we will be happy to help with that. So, let's now receive our offering. Gracious God, accept our offering as a symbol of our love for you. Use it and use us to bring healing to your broken and hurting world. Amen. Amen. Our scripture readings today. The first one is Psalm 121. Hope it's familiar to all of you. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. God will not let your foot be moved. The one who keeps you will not slumber. God who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Yahweh is your keeper. Yahweh is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. God will keep you from all evil. God will keep your life. Yahweh will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. And our second reading is from John. Y'all should know this one too. John 3, verses 1 through 17. Well, maybe 17, 16, somewhere around there. We'll see how far I go. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born again." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? Except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." We will stop right there. Okay, I'm just going to tell y'all, it's a little weird to be here in worship without you all here. So I'm just imagining all of you. Oh, Linda's here. Linda Mosteller is here. But I'm imagining all of you here in your places, in your usual seats here in the sanctuary and the choir. So forgive me for stumbling around. It's not right when y'all aren't here. Anyway, okay. My first month at college, I was asked a question that I obviously answered wrong. It was a question that took me years to figure out. I was in the library studying with my roommate Kathy and her boyfriend Joel. They're still married now. It's been a long time. But anyway, his friend, Joel's friend Dale, was with us too. Now, Dale Thomas was adorable, and every girl on campus wanted to date him. While we were studying, he turned to me and asked me if I had been born again. I was 19 years old and had never been asked that question before. Never, ever. So I sat there and I thought about it for a minute, looking up at the magazines right behind us where we were studying. And this was my answer to Dale. "I was baptized on Easter Sunday, April 6th, 1969. And Dale turned to me and he said, "I didn't ask you if you've been baptized. I asked you if you have been born again." And I was stumped. If he didn't want to know about my baptism, well, I didn't know what to tell him. Born again is found only in one place in the whole of the New Testament, right here in the Gospel of John, in the story of Jesus and Nicodemus. Being born again is important to many, many Christians. For a time, it was a movement itself. Chuck Colson, you may remember, he's come up in the news lately. He was born again in the middle of Watergate, not long before he went to prison. And in the 1980 presidential election, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, and John Anderson, you might remember him, you might not, they all claimed to be born again. That was an issue during that election cycle. It has been used as a test of faith, as a judgment of faith. It has been used as a way to define proper faith, as Dale Thomas did that night in the library. And it has been used to describe a very personal faith journey, a very personal conversion experience. When we do that, when we speak of being born again, put your little quotes out there, only in terms of a very personal conversion experience, we do the same thing that Nicodemus did. We domesticate the phrase. We flatten the complexities of the word. We miss the wonderful ambiguities and the richness and the depth of this teaching of Jesus. It was night when Nicodemus, a Jewish leader, seeks out Jesus. Remember, to seek Jesus is the first act of discipleship, and yet his journey of discipleship begins in the darkness of night for Nicodemus. Later in the gospel, he will seek Jesus in the light of day. So you see, you have him seeking Jesus in the night, darkness. Later, it will be light. Darkness and light are playing around here in this. Nicodemus initiates the conversation, not with a question, but with a pronouncement of who Jesus is. Jesus is a teacher from God, and Jesus is in the presence of God. And then Jesus begins to teach Nicodemus. To see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. To enter the kingdom, you must be born of water and of spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of spirit is spirit. Where the wind blows, it blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, and so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. These are new teachings for this would-be disciple. Nicodemus can't yet see beyond the limits of his own understanding, his own worldview. He can't yet see beyond the limits of the darkness, and he can't yet see beyond his own life experience. But Jesus has a way of taking care of that. Jesus will not settle for limited, self-centered, half-informed, small thinking. Jesus turns our attention away from our own personal experience and focuses our attention on the bigger picture of what God is doing in the world. He turns our attention with the language he uses here, like these words, born, the word again, the word water, flesh, and spirit. All of these words are packed with meaning and significance. Jesus and Nicodemus are talking about birth. Birth. And birthing is messy business. Even Nicodemus knows that once the water breaks, there ain't no going back. Once the waters of childbirth break, life will not be held back. In Scripture, birth is all that begetting. All that begetting in the Old Testament and in the genealogies of Matthew and Luke. all of that answers the question of origins. Who are you and where do you belong? To whom do you belong and where do you come from? Who are you, Nicodemus? Where do you come from? To whom do you belong? Jesus is teaching about origin and identity. And then there's that word again. Nicodemus is correct. No matter how tempting it is on some days, childbirth is a one-way proposition. Once the water breaks, there is no crawling back in the womb. Even though I think some of my kids have tried. You can't go back. But you see, Nicodemus has only understood one meaning of the word. And Jesus has chosen intentionally an ambiguous word that is rich and pregnant, yes, pun intended, pregnant with meaning. Jesus says, you must be born anothen. Anothen, there's a Greek word for you. You must be born again. You must be born anew. You must be born from above. Anothen is an adverb of time and place that must be understood with all its nuances and meaning. Because the teaching is incomplete without each layer of meaning. Jesus is teaching Nicodemus that there are multiple layers of birth. Yes, we have physical birth. That's not questioned, and that is not condemned. And the disciples of Jesus are also born again, born anew, born from above throughout our lives, like the kingdom of God. The time for our birth is now and yet to come. The place of our birth is from above, from our God. We are born of God. Our origin is from above. We receive the gift of new life again and again and again by our God who breathed into us the breath of life. Jesus reminds us of this. Dust from the earth, breath from God. We are born of water. We are born of flesh. We are born of spirit. Water, flesh, spirit. Jesus uses the language of creation. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind of God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. In those earliest moments of creation, the wind of God hovers over the darkness. The Spirit of God hovers over the waters, and the voice of God speaks. God speaks, and darkness gives way to light. God breathes, and humanity is born. This is from whence we came. This is our origin. Water, wind, and voice. And as it is in that first chapter of Genesis, so it is here in the Gospel of John. Wind and spirit are the same word. And the sound of the wind is literally its voice. Jesus says, the Spirit blows where it wants, and you hear its voice. Water, spirit, voice. This is the language of baptism. Jesus uses the language of baptism. And just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven, you are my Son, the Beloved, with you I am well pleased. At his baptism, God declares Jesus beloved. At our baptism, God declares each of us beloved. Jesus is teaching Nicodemus who he is and from where he comes from. Origin and identity, belonging and being. We are disciples of Jesus, born of water, born of flesh, born of spirit, born of God, born from above, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Dale Thomas was wrong in that library all those years ago. Being born again, being born anew, being born from above is about baptism. It is about baptism and creation. It is not about our personal choices. It is about the choice of our God. It is about the action of our God in our world and in our lives yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Jesus has not taught us how to test the faith of another. He has not taught us how to judge the faith of another. He hasn't taught us how to define a personal conversion experience. And here in these last days of the Lenten wilderness, accompanied by Nicodemus, Jesus teaches us the truth of ourselves. Jesus teaches us who we are and to whom we belong. Jesus teaches us where we come from. The Spirit blows where it wants, and you hear its voice, but you don't know where it comes from or where it leads. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Beloved of God, remember who you are. Remember to whom you belong. And remember from whence you came. Let us pray. Grace-filled God, grant us the courage to see the truth of ourselves. Open our eyes, our hearts, and ears so that we may know who we are and accept who we are, to whom we belong, and from whence we came. We pray in the name of Jesus, who lived and died and was raised to new life. Amen. And now, as I'm messing around with all of my papers up here, I have a few announcements that I forgot as we began today. The announcements, which I think I just passed on by. Okay, these are important. So, as you all know, I hope we're not having services at the church until otherwise notified. We are, as I hope you know, are recording brief service each week that will be up on the website. And the call is being, the newsletter is being sent out today. Today is Thursday, I do believe. So it has this issue has a wealth of information for you about our cancellations, our services and programs that have been suspended. We also would like to tell you and remind you, if you don't already know, the church building is being locked during, well, the week. It's just being locked up. We would appreciate it very much if you didn't come down just to chat. All of our outside groups are not meeting here during this time. All of our inside groups are not meeting here during this time. So please, I know it's an inconvenience, but we would appreciate it if you would honor that request. Also, the elders are keeping us connected, and so if you have any questions or any needs, you can call the church office. You can call me. My phone number is in the church directory, by the way. And you may call an elder, because we are all still around and we are all still a community, and we are going to maintain that connection throughout this uncertain time. We will keep you informed of everything and every decision that's made along the way. All right. Anybody else? Anybody got any announcements? Anything for the good of the order? Okay. Will you please rise for the benediction? Okay. Thank you. And now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah be with you all as you go forth in peace, wherever you are, to love and serve the Lord. Amen. Amen.